Despite what this world would tell you, scientific knowledge is not the end-all, be-all. It is a nice thought to think that maybe eventually science will come up with a cure for cancer. Lots of people think that science will come up with a vaccine for every disease. And there are other scientific and technological advances always going on. A lot of people right now think that AI, artificial intelligence, will make it one day where no one will have to think for themselves or maybe even do any work, or do any problem solving. Maybe one day, according to some, we can all just be androgynous beings uploading our consciences to robots where we don't have to put up with illnesses anymore. We can just go in for upgrades of some kind. And if you think about that, this is just kind of a side note. It is interesting, really, how religious science is dealing with things like healing, dealing with things like vocation, dealing with things like the nature of humanity, body and soul. But I think that it is flawed to think that scientific knowledge is the end-all, be-all. For this basic reason, the more that we know, the more that we study, the more we realize we really don't know much at all. God's creation, too deep, too astounding, too amazing to figure out in our own little created brains. When you look at those things, like medical advances, people still die. In fact, I heard a statistic recently that really the only advance in medicine as far as length of life or life expectancy has come from improving obvious sanitary conditions. Despite all the drugs and the cures and the vaccines, we haven't really added much to the span of life. You can think in Psalm 90 how Moses says way back in the time of Moses that people live by reason of their strength to 80. Not that different today, really. And if you think about AI, it tells you in the name, it will only ever be artificial. And we have seen over and over again that when people do refuse to live by God's created order in the bodies that He gives them, in the ways that He made them to work, that it just leads to lives of despair and sadness. Trying to get to the end-all, be-all by advances in science or technology or even just logic, just figuring out things on our own without God, it never really works. Nicodemus tried to understand what Jesus was saying in this way when Jesus said to him, "You must be born again by water and the Spirit," he said, "How can this be?" He put it in a scientific framework. Can a person climb back up into his mother's womb and come out a second time? It doesn't make any sense. There are simply things that we cannot fully grasp, fully understand in God's creation, or of God Himself. We have to believe what He says and lean on it. When He says, "Be born again by water and the Spirit," connecting that to baptism, that is a new birth, a new life, as we saw last week in the baptism. Maybe it doesn't even look with our own eyes like something that amazing, pouring water on a baby's head. But in fact, it is new life, new spirit, not scientifically explainable, not even logical in the way we'd normally use that word, but yet truth, beauty, God's creation, God's ways. It's not just science that we can't understand. Paul puts it this way. His judgments, no one can understand them. They are unsearchable. His ways, inscrutable. Inscrutable meaning they cannot be investigated. They cannot be traced out and figured out in some way. What God does, what He proclaims, the way He creates and the way He sustains and the way that He guides, we cannot always trace it out. We cannot figure it out on paper. Trinity Sunday is a great Sunday to talk about that. The Trinity itself, the Holy Trinity, is something that we cannot, in and of our own brains, understand. We can confess it, but we cannot understand it. How does 1 + 1 + 1 = 1? It doesn't in our minds. And yet we confess God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each their own person, the Father, not the Son, the Son, not the Spirit, not the Father. And yet they are all fully God, each truly the essence of God, but not three gods, only one God. We said it over and over again in a number of ways in that Athanasian Creed. And no matter how many times we say it, it still doesn't quite make sense, does it? Not fully understandable. But notice what we prayed in the prayer for today. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith. Not to understand, not to dissect, not to trace out and investigate, but to acknowledge and to confess. And you can think about this in terms of also the things that God has sent you in your life. His other judgments and ways, as Paul says. You can think about some of the things we talked about earlier, like illnesses. And you can ask yourself, I'm sure you have, why has God sent me this illness? Why has He sent me this medical problem that maybe there's not a medicine for yet? That maybe there's not a cure for? That maybe no matter how hard I try or how much I follow the doctor's advice, it doesn't always get better and better? Or the other things He sends you in your life, your other burdens and sufferings. You can think about all sorts of things. Why has God given me the burden of being a caregiver for my loved one who is lost or struggling? Why are my children not sitting next to me in church today? Or even things like this. Why has God blessed me so richly, even when I feel like I don't deserve the blessings that I have? So many things to figure out. So many sufferings and hardships and struggles. So many ways and judgments of God in our life. And if we try and dissect them, if we try and figure them out in some scientific or logical way, it never really gives comfort, does it? It's just like science. The more we know, the more we know we don't know. The more we know that His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways not our ways. If we were God, we wouldn't do it the same way He does. If we were God, we would make other decisions. But we are not. And He has not given us always His full special revelation of knowing exactly why things are happening. Even Isaiah, who saw the glory of God face to face in the temple that day, who cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." All he could do in that moment, he couldn't ask Him about why this or that thing had happened in his life. He couldn't ask Him about why He designed the world in the way that He did. All he could do was cry out and say, "Woe is me." I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the people of unclean lips. Have mercy on me. And so knowledge and understanding, they are not the end-all, be-all. And so where can we turn? Where can we go? From whence does come our help? Think about Paul in Romans 11 today. He is considering in Romans 11 how God, by his mercy, has incredibly engrafted the Gentiles into the promises first given to Israel. And he is thinking about these gospel promises and the way that Jesus has brought it about to save all nations. And he is aghast at this most amazing thing that God has done. And so he shouts out in the middle of talking, almost interrupts himself, if you read Romans 11, "Oh, the depth and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways." Whenever Paul does not understand something, whether it be how little he has, how much suffering he has, how much he's struggling that day, the chief of sinners though he be, how much he is sinful, or it be how amazing God's promises are, how amazing the blessings are, how much God is giving and giving and giving in his mercy, the only thing he can do is look at the Trinity. Look at the divine majesty and shout out this doxology, this hymn of praise. His judgments unsearchable, his ways inscrutable. And he goes on. I love what he says here. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or has been his counselor? Or has given him a gift that he might be repaid? It reminds me of Job in chapter 38, when Job is questioning God on why he has sent these things to him. And the Lord simply responds, "Were you there? Were you there when I created the heavens and stretched out the earth? Were you there when I established the mountains and put the seas into their place? Have you known how to do these things, Job?" Or also in Psalm 50, "The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. What sacrifice could man give that the Lord would want it? Does he eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Of course not. He's God. All things are his. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" You can't give him a gift that you might be repaid. He already owns it all. And you cannot counsel God, telling him what to do, how to live his life. There are lots of counselors today. We live in a world of lots of counselors and therapists, and maybe that's all fine and good. There are some therapists I don't think are good. Therapists that will tell people just to do whatever makes them happy. I'd rather have God as my, as Isaiah says, wonderful counselor. But Paul asks here, does God need a therapist? You think God needs someone to tell him what to do? You think the divine majesty of the Holy Trinity, Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity, you think he needs someone to affirm him? He is God. And yes, that convicts us of our pride when we think we know better than God what he should do, or we know better what we should do with our lives than what he tells us to do. I guess it's Pride Month now. It's probably been shoved down your throat enough on your social media pages. That just means it's a good time to repent, in case you forgot pride is a sin in the Bible. But it should also give you comfort. Not Pride Month, but the fact that God is God. The fact that he knows what he's doing. The fact that he does not need someone to counsel him. The fact that he has all things in his hand. He has from the very beginning of creation. The fact that he stretched out the heavens. The fact that he put the seas in their places. The fact that he built up the mountains to their heights. That should give you comfort. For think about the things that you ask about that we talked about earlier. What about my illness? What about my burden with this person or that one? What about even my undeserved blessings? Or the things we talked about earlier. What do we do about vaccines? What do we do about AI? What do we do about transhumanism? Do you think any of this? Do you think any one of those things? Do you think any problem in your life is outside of his control? We teach it to children. It's so simple. You should know it, and we should live by it. And it's so comforting too. He's got the whole world in his hands. Yes, he's got the whole world in his hands. We said earlier that knowledge and understanding are not the end-all, be-all. So what is? Paul says it this way, for from him and through him and to him are all things. From him, he created everything. From the tiniest cells and atoms that you cannot see without microscopes, to the most magnificent stars in the sky, from the shoes on your feet to every hair on your head, which he has numbered, from the money in your bank account to your home and workplace, from your great-grandchildren to your great-grandparents, he has made them all. And it's all his to do with what he wants, to judge as he sees fit, to guide in his ways, and through him too, for he sustains it all, and he sustains you. He is working out, as Paul will say earlier in Romans, working out all things for the good of those who love him. And he continues to be with you. He sends his Spirit to be in you. He sends his word and his sacrament to sustain you and strengthen your faith. And finally, to him. As Luther says in the Small Catechism, for all this, it is only our duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. No, we can't understand everything. Science will never figure everything out. But what we can do, as the prayer said, is by his grace, acknowledge him. Give him the glory. The divine majesty, the Trinity in unity, the unity in Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And on this Sunday, Holy Trinity Sunday, to call him God, to say his name, that is enough to acknowledge him. Because he is from all, and through him and to him are all things. And we'll say with Paul, to him, to that God, the one true God, be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We stand to confess our faith, we stand to sing the offertory together.